A huge congratulations to Whalen Bay. They are the number one dealer in sales in the nation for Mako and Tahoe boats. How cool is that? Hey folks, Captain Kevin Faber here for Whalen Bay Marine, and I've been telling you for years how much I love the Mako Pro Skiff series. They're an absolute inshore fishing machine. But don't forget, they also carry tracker boats, Nitro Performance fishing boats, Sun Tracker pontoon boats, and Tahoe boats. Now you want some bigger news? Whalen Bay is now the dealer for Ranger boats. The new Ranger Saltwater Bay boats look amazing. Also Ranger Aluminum series and Ranger pontoons, which are perfect for fishing and just relaxing. So now, no matter what your boating needs are, Whalen Bay has you covered. And I can promise you that when you buy your new boat, all the folks at Whalen Bay will make sure your boat is rigged correctly and in a timely manner. You can do all this at Whalen Bay in St. Augustine, located at 845 State Road 207, or give them a call at 217-3778 or visit WhalenBayMarine.com. Whalen Bay Marine, your authorized dealer for tracker boats, Nitro, Sun Tracker, Tahoe, Mako, and now your full line of Ranger boats. And remember, every day is a boat show at Whalen Bay Marine.
Now, the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Here to help you be the best you. Here's Captain Kevin Faber and Captain Scott Shank on 1010XL.
Good evening, welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Faber, sitting in with Captain Ricky Papoor.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. And actually got a trip in today, and it was interesting. I obviously canceled yesterday because, like, oh my God, what was that? That was a hell of a front that came through yesterday.
It took a long time getting here. It was supposed to come.
It did. I agree. I had my buddies Travis and Doug yesterday, and I mean, if you looked at it, they're talking about hail and tornado watches and, you know, 30 mile an hour. And I did the same thing. I woke up at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I thought that, I was looking at the radar thinking, well, it's got to be close. Well, shoot, it was still in Tallahassee. I mean, I do believe that I could have gotten yesterday morning in, but, you know, those are the days when you need to do a charter. Does that make sense? You try to get it in, yep. But those are the days when you get caught.
Oh yeah,
too. You know what I mean? And that's bad for business. You know, it just is. It's better to we have too many pretty days here on the First Coast. You know what I'm saying? I mean, literally, especially when you're talking about inshore, 80% of the time you can fish.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so to have that kind of a forecast, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. And not only that, but if I left out of St. Augustine, I'm not going to run halfway to Palm Valley and fish spots that I know that have fish because there's an impending storm coming, right? I'm going to stick around and try to, in other words, I'm trying to make my money. And that's, you know, it that wasn't that day yesterday. You know, those guys are my buddies. And it's not worth your time and it's not worth your safety.
Right. I have done it several times. Chase a, you know, get out ahead of a storm.
Right.
And you think you're going to make it back. Right. And you just don't.
You just don't. Yeah.
And when that happens, it's one, it's embarrassing.
Yes.
And then two, it's like, you know, people start, they start getting nervous. Like some do. I did one last year and I think they actually liked it. It got really rough and the wind started blowing. We had to put the curtains up and.
Right.
They're doing
Lieutenant Dan thing.
Yes.
Bring it on. What are you?
Yeah, it was wild, but we pulled through it and I was like, you know what?
I've had folks scared to death. I mean literally like crouching down on the deck, you know, please God let me live, you know, cuz it gets ugly. I mean, it gets ugly fast, too.
Sometimes, like, you're not, like, we knew this was going to be a doozy, this one coming yesterday.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just expecting a little bit of a shower or, you know, like a little something coming in that 40 to 50. I remember twice last year, late in the afternoon, those 40 to 50 mile an hour winds picked up. One time I got really lucky. I was pulling into Comanche and it hit me. I mean, like, took the boat, like, a completely different control situation.
Yep,
I know. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, I've obviously been caught in a few of those, and it always seems that I'll never forget. There was one year that me and my buddy Schulte were fishing Ancient City. It was in July, and we were at Matanzas. Beautiful day,
and a storm, you know, was coming, but it came over St. Augustine Inlet. It was the weirdest thing, right? And I refused to go into Matanzas. I just refuse. I'm not. I'm not going to do that, right? So this storm turned and started coming down the coast with northeast winds in it, which you never see in July.
That never happens.
Never happens. And it got ugly. I mean, you know, 4 to 6 on top of one another, white capping, and I'm like, you know, we got to go. We didn't have a fish to weigh, but we got to go. I mean, we're talking safety here. And I kept thinking, you know, that summertime, you know, those storms kind of come and they have a lot of, you know, wind in them, and then they just kind of dissipate, and then things get beautiful again, you know. This one never did that. It just continued to blow. We beat our way, and that was in the Sea Fox. We beat our way all the way back to the inlet, and then you're always thinking of a northeast wind on an outgoing tide. That inlet is just about as ugly as anything you'll ever do, so I had to go all the way around and come in the north cut. So, and that was totally unexpected. There was no, you know, warnings. There were, you know, obviously you got what? Every day in the summertime, you got a 50-50 shot of an afternoon thunderstorm. But that one just turned and came down the coast. It was strange. So you just have to be prepared for those kind of things.
Speaking of the North Cut, it's still passable. It's not like it's, you know, impassable, but it's definitely shallower.
I'll like, bet.
There's a lot of difference. And also the main inlet going out, like in between the buoys. I saw 15 foot the other day, right in the middle of the channel. So, yeah. When you get that east wind and the outgoing tide and it's bucking up.
Yep.
It's still bucking up on the North Cut now.
Right.
So I decided to go around the.
Right.
A couple weeks ago, go around the North Bar and come in, and it was nasty in
the
cut.
So whatever, and again, I haven't used Matanzas in years, but whenever we did, years and years and years ago, it was a North Cut. You know, you just hugged the beach, and, you know, the waves were breaking on your right as you're going out, right?
Right.
But there was a channel. There was a channel there.
I remember,
And the North Cut's becoming the same way. You actually have to go almost, if you're coming in, you have to go half a mile north of the inlet and come in and get in that channel, and the waves are still breaking on your left as you're coming in, which is spooky.
Yes, and when you have that northeast wind, like you said, it's the swell direction, the wind direction are the same, and then you get that big stacked up, you know, and the tide's trying to come out that way too, and
it's not. St. Augustine is a very tough inlet. You know, Kirk and I have. This conversation all the time, you know, about Mayport, because I used to fish out of Mayport all the time. I mean, and they get that outgoing tide with a knee swell and being 60 foot, the swells get big, really big. But for the most part, you can just take your time, where St. Augustine's not that way at all. It's right on top of one another.
You can
bury that bow really easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really easy. I've had some experiences going out that inlet, and like I said, you know, that we talked about weather and just what happened yesterday. I think we got like almost 4 inches of rain in my house yesterday. It was nuts.
We got a lot too. It was quick what we got, but it was
the heavy stuff was quick, but it rained all day here. I mean, it just kept raining and raining and raining. Yeah, it was. As a matter of fact, I obviously had a trip today, and I was trying to find some time late in the afternoon to go out and, you know, get the boat ready and plug in my trolling motor batteries and, you know, this, check all my rods and this. It was just raining. Yep. I put my rubber boots on to plug in my trolling motor batteries because there was so much water in the boat. You know, I didn't want to get zapped.
Yeah.
But today was beautiful. Fished inshore. I had a ring power trip. And, you know, like I said, this morning was, they were calling for 25 to 30 knots out of the west. And when I picked my guys up at the ramp at 8:30 because it was a little chilly this morning. I said, let things get warmed up a little bit. And when I got to the ramp this morning at 7:45, it was beautiful. And I talked to Captain Zach Timmons, and he said, you know, he said, I think I'm going to run to one of the little nearshore wrecks, you know, which is 3-4 miles offshore. And he did. And then I checked on him around 10:30. He said, I'm on my way in. Because even at a mile and a half, when it's blowing 25 to 30 out of the west, it gets right on top of one another. And not only that, but you can't hold on the trolling motor either. You know, that wind will blow you off your spot. That trolling motor's struggling to stay in that kind of a wind. And the fish bit good. I had what I consider a very good day. We had a couple big reds. We had a sheep's head, which was a total surprise. Nice sheep's head, too, about 4 pounds. And then all the jacks and bluefish and ladyfish you want.
I came over the 312 bridge this morning. It looked like you had pretty clean water, too.
The water's fine. I that's a great point. I really expected, you know, some like that chocolate coming off the roads and stuff. And no, we didn't have any of that. Now, does that tomorrow? Is it a delayed reaction? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I kind of expected the same thing, and that is one reason that when it's like that, I prefer to go south. It just seems like that water clears up a little bit because you do have Matanzas and St. Augustine Inlet pulling that nasty water out. Whereas if you go up to, let's just say, Pine Island, you know, you got one inlet. It's going out of St. Augustine, and everything that's coming off of those developments, those housing developments and everything, is coming right into the intercoastal.
Did you notice the water temperature?
67.
Yeah, that's gone up quite a bit. So I fished Monday or Tuesday this week. I can't. Anyhow, the water temperature had went up from, it had been like 63 mm-hmm. to 65 near shore.
I really paid attention to it.
And it was 67 coming in the inlet last week.
Yep.
Monday or Tuesday.
We'll take a break, and we'll talk to Captain Leon Dana next. But I happened to look at his screen when he sent us a couple pictures today, and I saw like 71 degrees.
Oh.
On which that makes sense all the way, you know, in Palm Valley and stuff like that. So anyway, if you want to give us a call, 641-1010. You listen to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show.
That's right.
I like it. So Kevin, I've been talking to Leon Dana this week.
And LP?
LP.
Yep.
And he has got some super cool stuff going on. He's been doing videos, and
he does have some cool stuff going on.
And
I'm jealous.
Yeah, me too. I want to do it. I've been talking to him a little bit. I think I'm going to do it on my boat. But he's also got this new, we'll have to bring him up and have him tell us what it is, but a new transducer, and he's got like some new screens going on. He's got like the sure enough inshore mojo going on with electronics.
I think I outfished him today, though, which makes me feel better.
What's up, Prime Time?
LP in the house.
LP in the house. So I have to ask you something real quick before we get to your day.
Yes, sir.
And for folks who are listening, okay. So have just out of any chance, have you guys gone and looked at the Outdoor Show Facebook in the last 2 days, last day and a half? No. So this is where. This is why I don't do social media, okay? I the outdoor show is the only thing I do. That's it. So Roger and I, my buddy Roger, we're turkey hunting this week, and in the evenings, we turkey hunt in the morning, and then we bass fish in the afternoon, right? So we're bass fishing. We got our big shiners on. You know, we're having an adult beverage. You know, it's, I don't know, 6:30, 7 o'clock, and Roger's cork goes down, right? So I pick up my phone, and He sets the hook on a big bass, and halfway in, the bass spits the shiner, which happens a lot with big shiners, you know? And the shiner just happened to be right next to the dock, right next to it, and the shiner's dead, laying on its side. And I keep filming, and I can see the bass underneath it. And I keep filming, and she comes up and eats it right by the dock. I mean, and it's like, I mean, all you see is this huge mouth come up and eat this dead shiner. And it was the coolest video. Well, anyway, she runs off like 15 yards. And Roger, we missed the fish again. Didn't matter. You know, I got the video, right?
Right.
The hook, and you guys know this, using live bait, when she ate it the first time, the hook got reset inside the meat of the fish, so there was nothing sticking out. So we posted this yesterday. You cannot. We've had 78 comments about how bad of a fisherman we are. You know, yeah, seriously.
Just getting started.
Just getting started. You know what I'm like? I find that hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, and everything from, you know, the drag wasn't tight enough to you had too much slack in the line to the hook wasn't big enough. I mean, I was like, wow. That's and by the way, Leon, by far this year, the most post or the most messages we've had on a post, which I, you know, the reason that I put it up, not me, Tara, the reason that we put it up is because of the bass coming up and eating a dead shiner. Mm-hmm. And the video is, I'll show it to you.
I've seen the video. It's great.
Yeah, it's
great. I loved it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but it's just hilarious to me that that it's 50-50. You know, 50 are like, man, that was a, and then
that was a cool video.
Yeah. No,
you're
no,
an idiot for missing that fish.
That's exactly right. You know why? There are people are like, why did you post that? That's the stupidest video. You know,
are you
catch the fish. Yeah, no, it's like okay, you know.
That's surprising to me. Like, I can see people like critiquing and stuff, but I can't see anybody saying that wasn't a dumb that it was a dumb video. I thought it was great.
Numerous. Yeah, folks said that's a worthless video. Why would you even post that?
I think we all look for different things, maybe.
Yeah, but here's you're right. Here's the thing. If you're not totally familiar with the outdoors, you know what I mean? And if you're not totally familiar with, look, they say shiner fishing, you know? I mean, the reason that I put it up, Leon, is because this huge fish comes up and eats a dead shiner right underneath me. And that would be equivalent of like a tarpon right next to the boat coming up and eating a piece of chum. You know what I mean? And you get the video. Yeah, the fish jumps off, but oh my God, look at this bite. And by the way, we've had these videos, Leon, of Wahoo, this new Wahoo, jumping out of the water.
Right.
And missing the bait, you know what I'm saying?
Any fisherman will tell you the best part of fishing is the strike.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah,
that's what we're looking for. Yes. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I thought it was great. I was just glad that many people were engaged. It was,
yeah.
It's fantastic. So,
yeah, I didn't mean absolutely.
I was just thinking about what you're doing now, Leon, with putting these videos together and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm just trying something a little different, you know. I mean, I just purchased, you know, like on the off the market GoPro and mounted it on my front dash, and I purchased a little remote so that I can shoot video without having to reach back and turn it on or anything. And you know, it's pretty simple math. I mean, my God, if Captain Leon Dana can do it, a monkey can do it, okay? I mean, seriously, it's just not that damn hard.
Called worse things.
Yeah.
That's one. What did you say, one smart monkey?
Yeah. No, I said I've been called worse things because I don't know that I can do it.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to try.
I'm enjoying it a lot. And, you know, I got time in the evenings, you know, where I'm just winding down having a glass of bourbon sitting here on
that's
the back
fantastic.
Porch like I am right now.
Right.
What's that?
I said, that's fantastic. I love the whole thing.
Well, you know, they always say, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. Well, what's a video worth?
Right.
You know, they're going to show that to everybody, and then they're going to go, we need to go fishing again.
And here's the deal. So I obviously did video for years, you know, doing
sure
a TV
you did.
Show. You know, and
tell us about how many views did you get on the kingfish?
Oh, on the barracuda? Jumping
yeah,
in the boat?
Yeah.
That was millions. I mean, literally millions. But it was the number one video on Yahoo. On Google wasn't there at the time. It was the number one video on Yahoo for 2 days. That's crazy to think about.
That's huge.
But anyway, you know, my point is, like, that video was obviously totally unscripted. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's a lot of video when you're doing TV shows that it's like, okay, you know, okay, turn the camera on. I'm going to talk about this. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, hey, I got a bite. Turn the camera on. What Leon's doing and what you see so much of now is total natural. You know what I'm saying?
And his boat is very photogenic, if you will. He doesn't have stuff.
Yes
right. It's video friendly because he doesn't have all the structure in the way.
Right.
So I like the videos of you running through the tight channels and stuff on plane. I really like those.
Yeah, those are cool.
I mean, there's a limit to how many of those you can put up, but it's still cool. That's really cool. And then, of course, the fishing part.
And if you crash one day, just think about how many hits you'll get from that.
Exactly.
Kevin, I got over 400,000 views just on me running channels. I can imagine what running up in the grass would be.
Did you really? You got 400,000 views?
I got over 407,000 views this week.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. From running a channel. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It is good, though, to be fair. Like, it's really cool to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, Ricky and I are taking my boat out tomorrow. We're just going to run some channels. Yeah.
Hey, Ricky, we're doing you really want to make mine. A million views? Run your boat through that channel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoops.
Sand bottom, rock bottom, what's the difference?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So Leon, I was looking at some of the pictures you sent today, and your water temperature is, and it should be. It's a little higher than ours. I had 67 degrees today, and it looks like you're around 71.
Yeah, I'm sitting around that. You know, I mean, air temperature, water temperature was the same today. Water clarity is trash because of the rain that came through. We're getting a lot of runoff from that, but it did not hinder the bite whatsoever today. I caught speckled sea trout today. I caught some redfish today. Corey's not going to call in. Corey did extremely well today. He crushed me on the black drum today. I mean, some really nice black drum.
I was expecting to catch black drum, some puppy drum today, especially on the spots that I fish. They're springtime puppy drum spots. And I did. I caught two sheep's head. One of them, like I said, was a real nice fish. The other one wasn't legal, but I totally expected it. And as a matter of fact, that's why I ran south. We talked about this earlier in the show. Is you have a better tendency of finding cleaner water to the south. I really was going to go north and fish where you and I had talked about yesterday evening, Leon.
Right.
But when I thought, damn, it's just and not only that, but this is the time of year where you could go south and at least bend a rod. You know what I mean? But from the ladyfish and the jacks and the bluefish and stuff, you're going to go through 8-9 dozen trip. But who cares? You know
that's
job.
To be expected.
That's your job.
Yeah. Hey, Leon, a lot of bluefish in your area. Go ahead, Ricky.
If someone wanted to watch your YouTube video, what is the channel?
Oh gracious. Oh, God. That's a fair question, buddy.
Or how would somebody watch it?
How would somebody watch it?
Hang on. I mean,
400,000 views. Somebody's got to know where to watch it.
Well, I got to look at oh, my God. I actually have one. Palm Valley Charters is actually my YouTube channel.
Okay.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
I did not know this until I looked. But
surely somebody's gonna hear this and want to watch that. So Harold Bouchard, our good buddy, sent me a text message.
So inquiring minds want to know, Leon.
What's that? What do they want to know?
Where they can go watch your videos?
You can go on YouTube under Palm Valley Charters that I'm reading now. I'm actually on my phone looking at it, and my Instagram account, which I actually have an Instagram account now after God knows how many years. That's under Captain Leon Dana.
Oh, that's cool. So you can watch the videos on Instagram too.
Yeah,
look,
you can.
Short clips. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I mean, the clips are like, I mean, you can run 3 and 4 minute videos on Instagram now.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But obviously, I don't handle my social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that, I just figured, it was something new to do and out of the box. And with the new toys that I've got, I just wanted to show, the public, some of the new things that are out there, especially with Minn Kota and Hummingbird. Minn Kota's got some new toys out that I'm really enjoying, which you guys know about, which, Kevin, you were asking me about them. I'm running a Hummingbird 360 system now on the front of my boat, which is just mind-boggling. I mean, I can pull up to a dock or a creek mouth or a hole in a bend, put that down, fire it up on my top screen, and it's like watching TV. It shows the fish right there in front of me. They're 37 yards, they're 37 feet in front of us at 11 o'clock, I mean, it's just unbelievable how well it works. It's the same thing as side scan, but it's 360 scan. And the coolest thing is, Kevin, I can push a button and I can make it scan from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock or from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock or 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock or from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I mean, you can do whatever you want to.
It's like a pole-mounted transducer, for those who don't know, that it goes down deep into the water or below the hull surface, and it can scan 360 degrees, something like radar would do above the water, but it's sonar.
Exactly.
It'd be like the Omni-sonar for offshore fishing.
And it maps out everything that's right there. It's just like if people are familiar with side scan on their boats, picture 360 scan. It's amazing. And then you can fine-tune it to shooting just one particular area.
But
you still can't make the fish eat.
Right. I guess that's my point.
Correct.
I mean, guys, they're there, and this is really cool. I'm looking at them, but, they don't want to eat today, so we got to go to the next spot and do our 360 there.
He told me that yesterday. I accused him of cheating.
Right.
He's like, no. You still got to catch them.
Yeah, you still got to catch them.
Still got to catch them. That's right.
Yeah,
It's really nice to pull up to a dock, spot lock, turn that on, and I go, they're on the left side of the dock today. Okay, throw over there.
Yeah. I mean, knowing where the fish are is half the battle.
Yeah.
Yes. I have literally told a client, throw to 1 o'clock right by that oyster bed. Watch that popping cork go by, and it's going to go down like a fat boy at dodgeball. And it does. And that's awesome.
But I'm able to do that without... Without all, $10,000 worth of equipment.
You look like a god when you can call it. And you just
Wait. I look like a god when I can call it without that.
Yeah, right? But I can call it more often now.
Okay. Agreed with that. Yeah, okay. All right. By the way, sometimes you just got to get played lucky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Here, throw right there, by the time he gets right here, you should get a bite. Oh, there he is right there, And they're like, damn, how'd you know that? Well, I can feel him, Leon, he sees him.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. Leon, just real quick, looks like the weather tomorrow is going to be pretty. We'll talk about that later. 10 miles an hour, maybe 15 miles an hour out of the west. I'm going to go offshore. And when I say offshore, I'm going to hit the beach. I know there was pelicans diving. I heard Neighbor Joe talk about it today.
Yep.
Said there was pelicans diving at the pier. I've already got my rods rigged up for maybe some big bull reds underneath the pogie pods. I'm dying to try that again. And obviously I've got my pitch rod ready, Leon, because there's a cobia on the beach somewhere.
Dude, you better have a triple tail rod ready.
I got a triple tail rod ready. I do. I have that. Yes.
And Monday
I caught one inshore the other day.
Yeah. It's definitely that time, and things are changing quick. Like you wait for this time of year, and then it seems like it goes from not happening, not happening, not happening. And all of a sudden, bam, it's here.
It's here.
I had three cobia on the line Tuesday. I can't hardly remember what day it was, but it was either Monday or Tuesday this week I fished. Within 20 miles of the beach, we had three cobias on the line for sure. Two got sharked. One was short. And that water temperature, it's getting clear. Right. The water temperature is warming up. It's like any day now it's going to start happening. So look for the triple tail, look for the cobia.
Absolutely.
It's coming. Oh, quick.
You saw how many rods are on my boat.
Yep.
I mean, I got 9 rods on the boat for 3 guys.
I bet it looks like one of those crappy boats.
It does. Like so I have the lightweight little like half ounce egg seekers. For the, mm-hmm. the trout, the drum offshore, you know, and then I've got the heavier sinkers for the pogies, and then I've got my inshore rods, which I can still with the half ounce egg sink, half ounce jig heads, I can still use offshore too, and then I got my pinching rod, and then I got my triple tail rod. Whew, yeah,
I had that
triple tail rod, and you go and you go, I want the biggest shrimp you got. Okay,
that's right.
And
by the way, you know, if you're not using shrimp for bait, as in if you're not going bottom fish with shrimp, all you need is a half dozen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just go in there and say a half
just
dozen.
Just in case it can make your day.
Leon, thank you, buddy. Right. I appreciate it. Have a great
Always
evening.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Have a great evening.
Yep. See you, Leon.
Yep. Let's take a break and we come back. We'll talk to Captain Chip Wing right here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Favor sitting in with Captain Ricky Papour. We'll be right back.
The Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Favor sitting with Captain Ricky Papour. And this spot with Captain Chip Wingo is always brought to you by www.landandlawn.com. And you've seen my yard. My yard's beautiful. They did such a great job. But Chip, so I get a text from Billy this week, and he's got the skid steer out.
Oh yeah.
so they do pavers, they do pressure washing, they do skids, they do anything landscaping wise. And again, it's www.landandlawn.com. Great people. We'll have them back out here pretty soon. What's up, Chip?
Just eating a big old plate of humble pie today, my friend.
You've been turkey hunting, huh?
No.
Yeah, you've been.
No.
No. Okay.
It felt like it.
Yeah.
I ran from the marina all the way, stopped in other places, but all the way up to Blunt Island and all the way down to North Palm Valley and back today. Just trying to tuck in somewhere to get out of the wind like everybody else was. I mean, the river was running, you know, with the west wind and the current tide going out, you couldn't spot lock. And, you know, it was just crazy. It was crazy. No, I had Billy out Monday, though.
So it's interesting because when the wind started blowing, all right, I'm south of the 312 bridge, so the current is from south to north, and the wind's blowing so hard, I'm on spot lock, Chip. My trolling motor's turned around the other way.
Yeah,
fighting the wind. It's not fighting the current. It's fighting the wind to keep me spot locked. That's how hard it was blowing.
I bet that was a funny feeling.
Oh, it would, and obviously the boat would turn sideways, yeah. You know, and you're trying to fish, and not only that, but obviously, Chip, you're trying to get them to the point where you can throw downwind, you know, mm-hmm. And it became tough. We still caught fish, though. I mean, you know, like I said, there was a lot of ladyfish, jacks, and bluefish, but I don't care. I mean, people
have
fun. I have a killed for that today.
I mean, yeah. I had great anglers. Steve Foss and his daughters, you know, Mr. Foss.
Yep.
It was very humbling. I mean, I had Billy out Monday and we crushed him. You know, I had kids out this week and we crushed them. And
man, by the way, great pictures with the kids, man.
That was fantastic. I know, man.
It's extra special when you can take the youngsters out. It just is. I don't know. You know, I love taking everybody out, but you seem to have a little more giddy up in your step when you got the kids out, but and not only that, because it's harder, by the way, you know.
To get a kid,
yeah, it's more difficult to get a kid to catch a fish, you know, and you know that kid wants to catch a fish, you know,
but they can't hide their enthusiasm when they do, and that's the beauty of taking kids
fishing. That's what I love about it. Yeah,
and by the way, it's just the opposite too. They can't hide their disappointment.
That's true, too. Absolutely. You know, I'll never forget my first charter. And I'll tell this real quick and go back. But my very first charter, I had a 11-year-old boy who was really wanting to go fishing. And he was all about it. And fishing just wasn't that good that day.
Uh-huh.
And, man, he put me through the ringer. My very first charter.
Yeah, you're thinking, whew, I hope it's uphill from here, right?
I mean, he's like, do you ever catch fish? I mean, he was plumb rude. Right. I was like, oh.
That's what I'm saying. There's no filter with the kids, you know.
No, they're honest. They're very honest.
Yeah, I mean, Chip, you know as well as I do, when you're, let's just say, slow trolling the beach, you know, and you got a dad and two, you know, a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old, and, you know, and by the way, and listen, when I'm slow trolling the beach with that, sharks, jacks, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
Bend the rod, you know, but you go for that, you know, that first 45 minutes without a bite, you know, and, you know, they're playing in the live well.
It even got worse from there. We hooked like a 35-pound jack, and I mean a legit giant.
Yes.
And we get him. You know how them things fight. We get him all the way up to the surface. We're looking at him, and I didn't want to stick the gaff in the fish. I didn't want to kill him. We weren't going to keep him.
Right.
Well, I didn't think about the young fella on the boat having such a rough day in his mind, and he wanted to mount that fish.
Right.
Because I had told him, I was like, look, this is an absolute monster.
Right. Of a jack.
Of a jack. And he was like, he was, in his mind, he's about to get his mount. You know, and his parents had told, I think they had worked this deal out previously, like, if we catch something that's really good, we'll get it mounted for you.
So you get ready to go from zero to hero.
Yes. And but I put the gaff away and told his dad to just, like, you know, tighten down the drag a little bit, get him up here a little bit closer, and I'll grab his tail.
Yep.
And that way we can release
him. Which is
him.
What we do.
And the dadgum hook bent and pulled the fish off, and we didn't get the fish. He didn't get a picture with him or anything. And I'm telling you, this little fella was so mad at me.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I wanted to crawl in a hole.
Yeah, really. Golly, that's your first charter?
That was my very first one.
Oh, my gosh. Chip, do you remember your first charter?
Actually, I do.
Give me a quick version of it, because I'm going to tell you mine.
I can't remember his name, but he was a lawyer out of downtown Jacksonville. I was in Clapboard Creek throwing topwater plugs, and it was one of those mornings where it was perfect. You know, I mean, it was slick, and it was low-level light, a little overcast, and we were pounding the fish. And and then, you know, I was like, God, this is going to be so easy, you know. And then I remember my second charter in the same areas, and it didn't go so well. So, you know.
So, my first official charter. Now, I was taking people out when I was 16 years old. I had a 19-foot Mako, and my friends and stuff, you know, and their friends and their friends, I would charge them a little bit. But my first official charter, I had my 23-foot Seacraft, and these guys were from Tennessee, and they showed up, and they piled out of a pickup truck with a giant cooler, and all three of them, I'll never forget this, all three of them had cowboy boots on. Yep, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into here? And you know, and I've got to convince them that they can't get on my boat. And they had jeans, and you know, I mean, these were some necks, dude. You know, and as soon as we pull out, man, they're popping the beers, you know, and anyway. I go out. We kind of struggled for a little bit, but then I got on those giant bluefish on the South Rocks at Mayport, and these guys had the time of their life. I mean, they had so much fun, and you know, just tipped me, and it, you know, you're the best, and so yes, my first trip was like yours, but I'll never forget when they got out of that truck. I'm like, they can't get on my boat with cowboy boots. They can't. And by the way, they wore socks. They wore socks all day. They didn't take their socks off. They didn't. They just took their cowboy boots off and wore socks on.
There's probably a reason.
Well, there was a reason for that. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I fished Monday with Billy and his dad. It was his dad's birthday. And Devin came with him. He runs one of some stuff for Billy. And Devin shows up, and I looked over, and he's got boots on, work boots.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and I go, "You're not getting on my boat with those." And he laughed, and I go, "No, I'm serious. You don't have any other shoes." So he had to go barefoot. I'm like, "There's no way, bro." I mean, like, you know, they're just so destructive on your boat. And I felt bad, but we joked with him all day long, kept asking him how his feet were, and he was getting a suntan on them. But, yeah, I've had a couple people do that, and I'm like, "Sorry, man. I made the mistake of letting one guy wear some kind of hiking boot one day."
I know we got to take a break, but listen, my great buddy, Donnie Wynn, when I did all those trips for Florida Roads, he got on my boat one morning with work boots on, and he had gone out that morning and fed his horses. You know, it was all over his boats?
Yes.
Boots? Horse manure.
Yes.
All over my boat. Yeah. I'm like, "Donnie, what are you doing?"
He's
like, "Well, yeah, well."
I really think it's true.
just charter stories. It's all good. Chip, thanks, buddy.
See you, Chip.
Guys. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. 641-1010 if you want to give us a call. If not, Captain Ricky Papore and myself, we're going to look at the weather coming up tomorrow and for this weekend. We'll be right back.
This is the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Let's get right to it. Just a reminder, we are going to be at Standard Feed and Seat for the Nimnik Outdoor Show on Saturday morning. We've got CSS, Fireplaces and Outdoor Living. They're going to be cooking sausage and breakfast, and it is going to be, and by the way, Standard Feed and Seed's giving away like some crazy grill. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that's going to go on. Chicken poop bingo, which I know that you've been a part of before. So anyway, come join us from 7 to 10, and then obviously we'll be there a little after that. But we've been planning on this for about 2 months, so it should be a great show. Real quick, also tonight, they're talking about west winds at 15 to 20, which is, that's a lot.
Yes.
You know, that's a lot. But it's supposed to back off and be 10 to 15 tomorrow, which I think I can fish those nearshore wrecks, you know, 4 mile and places like that, which would be great because the inshore fishing's decent, but if I feel like that if I get out there, I can find some drums, some sheep's head, yellowmouth trout.
Spanish mackerel,
absolutely. Maybe a triple tail, maybe a cobia.
Yep.
Saturday is, by the way, it's like high of 69 in St. Augustine on Saturday.
Yeah,
it's
saw
supposed
that.
Supposed to be cool.
It's going to be pretty nice for the next couple of days. Cool working weather, and then
great working weather.
And then warming up.
Yes,
for
quickly.
The first part of the next week.
Yep. Tomorrow, Saturday, north winds 10 to 15, becoming northeast 5 to 10 in the afternoon, seas 2 to 3. But here's the forecast. If you really want to fish, Sunday, east winds at 5 to 10, seas around 2 feet.
Yep.
So
I moved my charter from Saturday to Sunday, and we're going to go try to catch some of these little mahis.
Good for you.
Yep.
Good for you. Monday, southeast winds 5 to 10, 2 to 3. And folks, if you've looked, and obviously, again, we look at the weather all the time. If you look at the last 5 or 6 years, in April, the wind blows southeast almost every day. It's the crate, unless you have a front come through. And when I say that, it blows enough of the southeast that it just makes it too rough to fish.
Yep.
You know, 10 to 15 to 20 out of the southeast every and all night. You just can't, in our bay boats, I mean, in your boat, the contender still makes it uncomfortable.
Oh, no, yeah, it's still, because of the rocking side to side.
Yes.
When you stop the boat, it may ride through it nice, but when you stop the boat, it just tips. So it gets uncomfortable. You can't hardly stand up in the boat.
Yeah, and just a little tip for St. Augustine. If you want to take the kids fishing and you want to bend some rods, right, there are so many ladyfish, jacks, bluefish around right now that you can entertain them all day. You know, buy a couple, three dozen shrimp. And I would stick around. If I was going out of St. Augustine, I would stick around, 2 miles to the north. But then anywhere from literally from Matanzas to St. Augustine, you're going to find these fish. And again, if you want to entertain the kids and have them catch some fish, float rigs are fine. If the current's not running too much, if it's not, put on some quarter ounce jig heads, put a live shrimp on there and let them have fun. It's a blast right now. I love this time of year.
Sometimes when you have that southeast wind, mm-hmm. The ocean will calm down the further out you get.
That's true.
Yeah. So if you can make it to that 5-6 mile mark and mm-hmm. you're comfortable, it's okay. Sometimes you can get it a little bit calmer out, to like 9 mile reef and maybe even a little bit further. It starts to calm down a little bit. And, those cobia are pushing from east to west.
I agree. I think Sunday's going to be a great day for that.
Yep.
I sure do. And again, a reminder, Saturday, Nimnik Outdoor Show, Standard Feed and Seed. We'll all be there and CSS Fireplaces and Outdoor Living. They are going to be cooking, so I'm looking forward to that. And thanks for this evening, Captain Ricky Papore. We're getting there.
Yep.
We talked about last week, you can feel it. And when I'm talking about the fishing's getting better, water temperature's really getting there. And when you start to see the jacks and bluefish and all these migratory, fish coming, the cobia, Spanish, triple tail. All that right behind it. Folks, thanks for joining us here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. For Captain Ricky Papore, I'm Captain Kevin Favor. Y'all have a great weekend of fishing. See ya.
See ya.